Amen. Yes, thank sir. You, Pastor. And thank you for sharing that. Galatians chapter 5 in your Bibles tonight, please. Galatians chapter 5. Ladies, thank you for singing that song. And that is our heartbeat. It's a joy to be here. Let me mention a few more books that are available on the table there in the back. Last night, we were dealing with the Jesus way of thinking, but the whole point was that in his humanity, he was yielding to the leadership and power of the Spirit. There is a book on the table called Friendship with the Holy Spirit, The Revival Relationship. And the reality is, God moves in when you get born again. And he moves in to live his life, not ours. And he does that by his Holy Spirit. And so every child of God has this personal partner, the Holy Spirit himself, to lead and empower. It's going into detail on this. There's some revival accounts in this book as well. And there's also a chapter on discerning the difference between your own strong desire and the true Holy Spirit's leading, as well as satanic counterfeits and the true Holy Spirit's leading. There's a little book on the table called Repentance and Faith, Two Sides to One Decision. What is repentance? What is faith? And how many steps are there to getting saved? But the reality is there's one step, but there's two emphases to one essence. And so we go into that in great detail. If you get that confused, the waters get muddied. And then there's a little book on the table called Assurance of Salvation, Dispelling Doubts with Infallible Truth. There are people who come to know the Lord, and so they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But then things happen, and they begin to doubt their salvation. So how do you get back on track? And so the only infallible assurance is the infallible Word of the living God. And so we go into this in great detail. There's so much confusion on that. And so the difference between salvation, which is having life, assurance, which is knowing that you have it, and revival, which is actually living it. And so those are available there at the back. Well, good to see you tonight. Young people, good to have you in the service tonight. We're going to pray here in a moment. And I encourage each one of you to ask the Spirit of God to speak to you tonight, and he will. And if you have your Bible, I do hope you'll open it, because these are the words of God, and they're words of life. And we'll ask the Spirit of God to speak that truth of his word to our hearts tonight. So, Galatians chapter 5. Now, on Sunday night, after some revival emphases on Sunday morning with personal and corporate revival, Sunday night we looked at that whole matter of focus so that we access the very life of Jesus, and his righteous life reigns and we benefit. And we saw the provision on Monday night that when you truly are a child of God, you are placed into Christ. There is a death to indwelling sin. There's a resurrection. You're joined now to Jesus. And the Spirit of Jesus brings that very life of Jesus from the throne right into you. So that, we saw last night, we can come to grips with the fact that, wait a second, he's the leader. He's the power source. This is not a matter of us trying to imitate. This is a matter of yielding to the divine life that moves in when we get saved. And all of that opens the way for an entirely new walk, we might say. So let's look at our text tonight. This is Galatians chapter 5. And let me begin by having us look at verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Do you realize the power of that promise? This is for every child of God. Regardless of age, young people, if you know Jesus, this is true for you. Amen. Whatever that means, if you understand it and apply it, you walk in the Spirit. You walk in the provision of the Spirit. We'll see this tonight, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let's read on. "For the flesh lusts or desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." In other words, every day of our lives, we're aware of a battle. And there are triggers in our world. In our world system, there are things that we see on a commercial or just going down the street, and there's a billboard or something, and there's triggers of temptation, and we can yield to the flesh or we can yield to the Spirit, and there's a battle. And that old sin master that we got severed from when we're saved, he's saying, go for the sin, and the Holy Spirit is saying, no, go for Jesus. Amen. But we're aware of the battle. So verse 18 says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." What does that mean? It's got to mean something. We'll come back to that. Verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." This is a great verse. In other words, this is obvious. This is not confusing. It's not unclear. If you're yielding to the wrong master, if you're yielding to that old indwelling sin master, the flesh, then the works of the flesh are very obvious, which are these. It says adultery. It says fornication. It says uncleanness, be moral uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's unbridled indecency. So there's moral sins, and then it goes to religious sins, idolatry. It says witchcraft, that includes sorcery and some of the things that go along with drug use. Then it switches over to relationship sins, hatred. Wow, a lot of hate in our country right now. That's a work of the flesh. And then it says variance, that's the idea of contentions. And then it says emulations, that's the idea of jealousy. Wrath, strife, seditions, that would be dissensions. Then it says heresies, that would be schisms. And it says envies. Wow, that's quite a list. There's a lot of stuff. You know, that's just the stuff that, you know, it's the muck of life. Then it says, it switches to social sins, murders. Just heard about one of those yesterday at Michigan State. I'm from Michigan. It's tragic. Satan is behind it. He is the murderer. Jesus said he's behind destruction. He's a destroyer. He's a murderer. He's a liar. But there's murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Wow, that's quite a list, don't you think? And you know what's interesting? It says, and such like. In other words, the list could have been longer. In other words, if you've got a brain and you have the Holy Spirit, you could figure it out. There's other things you could add to this. And these are all works of the flesh that it says here are obvious. Then it says, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? Is that saying if you do these things, you're headed to hell? Well, what about envies? Yeah. What about jealousy? If this means that if you do these things, you're headed to hell, we're all headed to hell.
That's exactly.
That is what we deserve. Did you know that unsaved flesh and saved flesh looks exactly alike? Flesh is flesh. And whether it's an unsaved person living out the flesh or a saved person yielding to the flesh, flesh looks like flesh. Adultery looks like adultery. Fornication looks like fornication. Murder looks like murder.
Yeah.
So what does it mean when it says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Did you notice it did not say shall not enter the kingdom of God? See, this is fascinating because he just said walk in the Spirit. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who are saved and know Jesus and are on their way to heaven. And the reality is, if you ignore the Holy Spirit, if you ignore everything we talked about last night, for those of you who are here, and you cave into your flesh and you yield to that old sin master, then you're not accessing the inheritance of the Spirit. That's what it's saying. You're missing out on the provision of His leadership and power to free you from this. However, in contrast, if you yield to the Spirit, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love,
amen,
joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. What a statement. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this is fascinating. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 says, walk in the Spirit. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. See, this passage is tying the two together. This walking in the Spirit and this fruit of the Spirit. So we could just kind of shorten that and call this the fruitful walk. Let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to open up our understanding tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use your truth to speak to every heart here. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what you mean by these words. And Lord, I pray for those who know you, both adults, young people, and children, and yet the works of the flesh are manifest. Open their eyes tonight to the powerful provision of the Spirit. And what it means to access Him so that the fruit of the Spirit is born in our lives instead of the works of the flesh. Lord, I'm sure there are some young people here tonight and some adults here tonight that have issues with certain sin issues, certain flesh issues, certain moral issues that are inferred in this text. And they're in bondage. Now, Lord, free them tonight. And Lord, they're not accessing the Spirit. Free them to what that is, to access the Spirit. Lord, others perhaps do not even have the Spirit. Open their eyes and may they be born again tonight. Oh, Lord, do what man cannot do. I plead the blood. Lord, protect us from Satan's attack, who certainly doesn't want us to get this. Lord Jesus, I claim our position in you on the throne far above the enemy. And in your name, that is above all names, I exercise your authority over any powers of darkness that would seek to hinder tonight, and trust you that that not be allowed. May Satan's lies be exposed. May the truth of Jesus be understood and embraced. We thank you now. May the Lord Jesus be honored tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago when I was in Bible college, I was reading my Bible one morning and I was in the book of Galatians, and I had read Galatians before, but it was one of those moments when verse 16 came off the page. You know what it is when that just all of a sudden a statement in the Bible just comes alive. And it's not that I had not read it before, but it just came alive. Walk in the Spirit. And here's what really came alive. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I thought, wow, man, what a promise. Walk in the Spirit and you won't. You will not cave in. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wow. And then I wondered, I wonder what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? For me, I wondered that for years, and it doesn't have to take years. You can get this now. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Because whatever it means, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In fact, we're going to see that you access the fruit of the Spirit, and that will be real in your life, and people will see that fruit. So how does this all work? Well, tonight we're going to see that walking in the Spirit accesses the fruit of the Spirit. It allows for the fruit of the Spirit to be born in you. But what does it mean to walk in the Spirit, and what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's look to the text tonight to answer those questions by some clarifications. First of all, what we're dealing with tonight is what we could call a singular plurality. You say, that sounds like a contradiction. I know. In the English language, we call it an oxymoron. Now, that's not a person. It's when you take two words that seem like they contradict and you put them together. It's like going to the seafood restaurant and it says, jumbo shrimp. Well, we get what it means. Okay. Because they're putting two contrasting words together. And that's what I mean when I say a singular plurality. You say, well, what do you mean here? Well, let's look at it. When we deal with the fruit of the Spirit, let's go down to verse 22. Let's start with the plurality part because that's easy for us to understand. It says the fruit of the Spirit is, and it starts with love. Now think about this. 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. Now don't miss this. When the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, since the Bible also says God is love, then the fruit of the Spirit of God is love. That's the fruit. And the next eight words are the slices in this one fruit. That's fascinating. But let's look at it. Any way you cut it, it does start with love. You know, this is an amazing word. It's a word that is dealing with an unconditional love. It is the kind of love with which Jesus loves us, which the Father loves His children. It's an unconditional love. It's a love, to put it in other terms, that does right even when you are wronged. And that's hard to do. In fact, it's beyond our ability to do. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. See, it's supernatural. I was in a meeting one time, and the pastor came by, and he said, hey, we got a Christian school here, and he said, there's some kids in our school, their parents, they don't go to our church, the kids come to the school, but he said the parents go to another church, they know the Lord, they're believers, they're Christians, he said, but they're having a big fight. And they've asked me to come over there. He says, you want to go with me? Well, I've always enjoyed a good fight. I shouldn't say that, but at any rate, I said, okay, I'll go with you. And when I got there, oh, it was a mess. Now, some of you probably have seen this, but it was mean. Now, at this point, it was not physical. It was words, but they were wounding words. It was mean. It was just, you know, vomiting out, you know, cutting on the other person. And just it was a word fight that was intense. And we're watching it go back and forth, you know, between the husband and wife. Finally, when they came up for air, you know what I mean? I spoke to the husband. And he claimed to know Jesus. I said, you know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that you're to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And I said, that word love means you're to do right even when you're wronged. Man, he got really mad at me. He said, well, it can't mean that. I said, it does. Now, why did he say it can't mean that? Because that's impossible on our own. See, it takes God in the equation. It takes the supernatural power of God to do right by someone that wrongs you. And that's the point. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural. Then it says joy. You see, that's not on the soul level of happiness. Unsaved people can have a measure of happiness on the soul level. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is much deeper than the soul level. Do you know that even when you are in a dark trial, you can still have the joy of the Lord? I was in a meeting where I started on, of course, Sunday morning, and a lady came up to me, and she was radiating with the joy of Jesus. And she said, I got to tell you, the Lord's been helping me. She said, my husband went home to be with the Lord 2 days ago. Now, most people wouldn't even be in church. But she still had the joy. Now, she was sorrowing over the loss of her husband. But she still had joy. What is that? It's supernatural. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Then it says peace. How many doctors or nurses have been baffled when they've come into a room to announce to a patient a very terrible prognosis, and the patient is at peace? It's baffling. Why? It's because they know the Lord and they're accessing God in them, Christ in them, the Holy Spirit in them, and the fruit of the Spirit includes peace, that peace that passes understanding. Then it says long suffering. You say, what in the world is long suffering? It's the opposite of short suffering. Now, most of us know what short suffering is, so long suffering is the opposite of that. Now, I won't keep going, but let me jump to the last word, temperance. Self-control. But, well, wait a second. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what that means? This is Spirit-empowered self-control. Anybody here tonight not disciplined in certain areas of your life? You just, you know, you're not disciplined in this, you're not disciplined in that. And so sometimes we just make enough bad choices that we become undisciplined in an area of our lives. We have poor character, as they would say in the old days, in that area of our life. Now, here's the hope. Do you know, if you know Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus lives in you. And when you access Him, you access this fruit of the Spirit, which includes Spirit-empowered self-discipline. There's hope! Because when you access Christ in you, He's disciplined. And so there's the provision that we have. Now, more could be said. My point is, that's the plurality. But now look at the first part of this. This is really cool. Look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit. Now let me ask you, is that plural or singular? That's singular. Now wait a second. Do you know this is not saying the fruits of the Spirit? That's what a lot of us say. It's not what it says. And this is important. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. That's why, again, I believe the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's manifested in these next eight ways. And here's the point. The text says fruit. This is the inspired word of God. There's a reason why it's not plural. It means this. When you access this provision of Jesus living in you, so we're tying some of the truths together that we've been dealing with this week. If you're saved, Jesus moves in. Oh, wow. That's amazing. And if you're accessing Him, then the fruit of Him, the fruit of Jesus, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of Jesus is manifested, which is love in all of its manifestations. Therefore, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance all at the same time. Because when you access Jesus, He's all of this consistently. He's all of this simultaneously. Do you know, if you're thinking, well, you know, when I read that list, I think I've got this one, and this one, but I need to work on this one, and this one. You don't have any of them. What you think you have are imitations. Because when you have what this is talking about, you have all of them at the same time. Why? Because Jesus is consistent. So one pastor's wife was sitting quietly in the car after we dealt with this one night in a meeting just like this. And the husband told me later, she finally spoke up and she said, "So, it's all or nothing." Big truth, isn't it? Another lady in a meeting said, "You know what? I used to think I had this one, and this one. I had to work on the other ones. And I see now what I thought I had are the imitations." Now, imitations can look decent from a distance. You can go to Pier 1 Imports and look at these pears that look real, but if you try to take a bite, it's not going to work. And in the same way, we can try to imitate these things, but that's not the same. Because Jesus moved in. You see, the Spirit brings the life of Jesus in us to impart to us His divine life. That's not imitation, that's impartation. Look, if you know Jesus, I know many of you young people have been here long enough. Many of you have made decisions to trust Jesus as your Savior. He moved in when you got saved. Amen. And see, salvation's not just getting you to heaven. It's getting Jesus into you. And He moved in to live His life, not yours. And so if you learn what it is to walk in the Spirit, we're going to come to that. You'll access Him and the Spirit will impart to you the Jesus life. And when you access the Jesus life, that's where love is. That's where joy is. That's where peace is. That's where patience is. All the way to temperance. That's where you access victory. Amen. And He is consistent. And that's real, not imitation. Secondly, so there's that singular plurality, but there's also divine life. Now, this is fascinating. In verse 19, it says the works of the flesh. But in verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. Why doesn't it say the works of the Spirit or the work of the Spirit? Could have. The Holy Spirit works. But the divine word choice was fruit. And it emphasizes life. Divine life. Now, I grew up in Chicago. Several years in the inner city. And then out in the suburbs. And for me, fruit came from the grocery store. Now, I of course knew that it came from, you know, farms and trees and orchards and whatever. But we didn't see those in Chicago. We saw cement and whatever else. Now, when I started traveling, it was kind of neat to actually see where the food comes from. I remember when I was down in Florida for a meeting, and all of these orange groves, man, these big oranges. And I was parked, and I had a fifth wheel trailer in those days. I was parked at a church, and across the street was a big orange grove. And I was so fascinated as a city kid, I went out there and stood and just watched the oranges. Have you ever watched oranges grow? Big, beautiful, gorgeous oranges. You know what? I didn't hear any agonizing. I didn't hear any grunting. That's fruit. It's life. That's what we're talking about. You try to imitate being a Christian, and you're going to grunt and groan, and this is the pits, and this is hard, all that stuff. You access Jesus, and the Spirit imparts to you divine life. See, that's supernatural. It's real life. That's what we're talking about. It's Christ's life. He's the source. You see, the flesh cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're talking about divine life, which means this is not something you and I do in our own strength by mere human self-effort works. It's something that we allow God to do through the cooperation of faith, through dependence on His leadership and power. And friends, when that happens, His life then produces this fruit. Number three, what we're talking about is an overcoming positive. I love this. An overcoming positive. Sometimes we look at the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh and we get it backwards. And we say, okay, there's moral sins, there's religious sins, there's social sins, there's relationship sins. So if I can just somehow suppress that, I guess I must be filled with the Spirit. No. Because you can imitate in the power of the flesh. You can produce the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So just because you're suppressing certain things, like somebody does something that kind of ticks you off and you want to just let them have it, but you just kind of grit your teeth and you're just about to really do it, but you just don't. And you think, wow, that was victory. I didn't let them have it. But you really wanted to. No. That's not victory. Victory is not even wanting to lash back out because you access Jesus. Oh. See, it's an overcoming positive. Let's look at verse 16. See it this way. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's the mistake. Some people say, okay, if I just don't cave into all those desires, if I just somehow suppress them, then I must be walking in the Spirit. Not necessarily. However, when you do walk in the Spirit, the life of Jesus overcomes and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, it's an overcoming positive. Now, back to the key of focus. The focus, therefore, is not on a list of got to do this and got to not do that. The focus is on Jesus. Because when you access Him, you do the right things and you don't do the wrong things. You see, that's the point. The focus has to be on the person of Jesus, not on a list of do's and don'ts. Now again, obviously there's things we should do. Obviously there's things we should not do. But if that's your focus, then you're left to trying to do it in your own strength. But when you access Jesus, that's a relationship with a divine person, and His divine life is imparted to you, and instead of living in a prison of don'ts, you live in the freedom of won'ts.
That's good, brother.
Friends, when you access Jesus, you won't lash back out. When you access Jesus, you won't disrespect your parents. When you access Jesus, you won't watch dirty stuff. You see, when you access Jesus, His life overcomes. His life overcomes the world and the flesh. Now think with me. A criminal can be kept from acts of crime by being put behind bars. That's why they do it. But it takes a changed heart that walks in love and then is free from the acts of crime without being behind bars. When my father became the pastor of the church in Chicago that we went to, it was 1966. I hate to date myself, but I just did. I was 4 years old. And in our church in Chicago, this was an inner city church, we had a member named George Mensick. Formerly, before he got saved, he had been a member of Al Capone's gang. How many of you have ever heard of Al Capone? Okay, so he was in Capone's gang. And he did what gangsters did. The crime, the murder. His signature was stuffing a body down a manhole. He was a part of the gang. Now, in those days, they didn't just kill anybody like they do today. They killed other gangsters from other gangs. But not that makes it right, but at least it was selective. But at any rate, that was his life. Then his wife got saved. She was born again. Somebody told her that Jesus saves from sin and hell and that it's not a matter of you trying to earn it. Jesus paid it all at the cross. You put your faith in Him and He saves you. And she got saved. And he had a daughter and she got saved. Well, the two of them started praying for him. Well, that kind of ticked them off. And they started talking to him. That really ticked them off. You know, you got to get saved. I don't want this Jesus stuff. Well, one day, he was in a drunken stupor, and somehow he got it in his mind that he was sick of this Jesus talk and this get-saved stuff, and he decided he was going to kill his daughter. When he arrived at the house, his gun was out in his hand. His wife saw that obviously this is something wrong here. She tried to get in the way. He physically threw her body on the ground. And he went down the hallway to his daughter's bedroom, and he burst that door open and pointed the gun right at his daughter's head. She at that moment was on her knees by her bedside and she was praying, "Oh God, won't you save my daddy? Oh God, won't you save my daddy? Make him a good daddy." He heard the words. It penetrated through his drunken stupor. He lowered the gun. And under the conviction that only the Spirit of God can bring, He walked down the street to the old Marquette Manor Baptist Church. This was before we were there. But the pastor who was there at the time was in the building. And he led George Mensick to Jesus Christ. Amen. He got saved. Well, he went to, you know, the big leaders in the gang and said, "You got to change my jobs." I mean, the murder's not going to cut it anymore, you know what I'm saying? And so then he discovered there wasn't anything he could do as a Christian and be in that gang. And so he left the gang, and here's what's amazing. They let him. In that world, they do away with you because you could tell on them and whatever. But they let him. He was so changed. They thought, well, he's harmless. He was so different. Amazing. They said, he'll be harmless. And so to just put food on the table, he got a job right away sweeping streets in Chicago. And the cronies would come up in the old black limousines, and they'd roll by and they'd roll down the window and they'd wave the wads of $100 bills and say, "Hey, George, anytime you want to come back, come on back." He'd wave them on. He got victory over certain sins immediately. Other sins and habits took him a while, took him 2 years to get off of heroin. But he continued to grow in the Lord. He continued to go to church. He continued to read his Bible. He continued to obey the Holy Spirit that now lived in him and was changing him from the inside out. And then he sensed God was calling him to preach. And because of his former life of crime, he felt that his responsibility to preach to people behind bars. How is a former member of Al Capone's gang ever going to be let into a prison, especially in Chicago? Do you know that the Chicago Police Department was so radically convinced that he was a changed man, they threw away his police record. He got to preach in Cook County Jail, all the jails in the Chicago area, all the jails in the Midwest. He saw hundreds of people come to Jesus Christ. And 26 men later became preachers that got saved when they were behind bars when he preached to them. Very fruitful life. You see, prisons can keep people from doing things, but they can't change the heart. But Jesus can change the heart. Amen. See, that's that overcoming positive. Friends, Jesus is the Savior. He doesn't just save us in the sense of taking us to heaven. He can deliver us from the power of sin this side of heaven. And young people, you may have a difficult situation you're in, but I'm going to tell you something. God knows you. He knows you by name, and He loves you with a perfect love. He died for you. And He offers to move into your body and lead you from the inside out and change you from the inside out. That's Christianity. The way God intends it. So it's an overcoming positive. Number four, what we're dealing with is a present fact. I'll just touch this because we dealt with it the other night. But you notice in verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is." It's not a will be. It's not a promise. It's not out there. It's right here. Why is that important? Because promises you can't take yet because they're not there yet to take. So you got to ask for them. They must be obtained according to Hebrews 11:33. But facts, the is's instead of the will be's, you can take. You know what's interesting? One of the words here was long-suffering. Remember that? It means patience. Why is this important? Because when you need patience, you need it now. And thankfully, the fruit of the Spirit is. See, if you're saved, Jesus is already in you. You don't have to ask Him to move in you. If you're saved, He's already there. But you got to take Him. See, that's called faith. Thanks be to God who's giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. So if He's giving us Jesus, take Him. So here's a situation. Your sibling has left some Legos on the floor. Your shoe is not on your foot. And you step on a Lego. And the Lego does not break. But it feels like your foot is. And you are tempted to say things you should not say. And you're tempted to maybe do things you should not do. And you're tempted to make things fly that don't have wings. Or make holes in the wall that aren't meant to be there. You know what I mean? Okay. If you had to have a 30-minute prayer meeting, you know, in order to get victory, it's not going to happen. But if Jesus is already in you, You can look to Jesus in that moment and experience His supernatural patience. That's the victory that we're talking about. So it's a present fact. It's all available right now. Take and then act on it. Number five, what we're dealing with is a simple walk. Now, this is neat. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 says, let us also walk in the Spirit. So back to the question, I wonder what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, walking's an important word, so let's just shorten the question for a second. What does it mean to walk? Walking is reiterated. Somebody said it. Steps. Oh, man, aren't you glad you came tonight? That was deep. Walking is repeated steps. Okay, so that means walking in the Spirit is simply repeated steps in the Spirit. But what does that mean? Well, Colossians 2:6 tells us. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, how do you receive Christ? It's by faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Ah, so how do you walk in Him? How do you walk in the Spirit? Same way you got saved. It's by faith. It's by dependence on Him, not you. For the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. Perhaps you're burdened to witness to a friend of yours at school because they don't know Jesus. If they died, they'd be headed to hell. And this burden, you know why you have that burden? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. But you can't do this on your own. I'm shy. What do? You can go to the Holy Spirit and He'll enable you. See, that's how this works. You can walk in the Spirit. You can take the provision of Jesus. That's how this works. And it's interesting, too, because in our text here, walk in the Spirit, verse 16 and verse 25, the grammar, and I won't go into the detail, but the grammar is indicating walk in the power of the Spirit, walk in the quality of the Spirit, walk in Holy Spiritness. Instead of being fleshly, walk in Holy Spiritness. In other words, walk in the divine power of Jesus living in you. Walk in the provision, and this is interesting. See the word walk? It's the same in English in both verses, but there's actually two different Greek words underneath those words. In verse 16, it's the word walk about, conduct oneself. So conduct, let's put that in the noun form, conduct. Oh, it is the power of the Spirit for lifestyle. Oh, wow, this is great. That means we can depend on the power of His enablement to experience the overcoming life of Jesus. But in verse 25, when it says walk, it means walk in a straight line. So when you see like the band, that the marching band, you know, how do they stay in line? Well, they're all keyed in on the leader. They're in step with the leader. It's like the military. Okay, so the leader is the Holy Spirit. See, this is not just dependence on His power. It's dependence on His leadership. Amen. And when you get those two together, it gets exciting. And now we come back to verse 18, because I told you we would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What does that mean? It just means you can only be under one leader at a time. When you are yielded to the Spirit, when you're focused on the Spirit, when you're trusting in the Spirit, you're under His leadership, which means you're not under the law. But when you're under the Spirit's leadership, this is beautiful. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifested. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you look up at verse 14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that when you walk in the Spirit, you access Jesus, Jesus' love, and you fulfill the law? You know how you fulfill the law? Not by focusing on the law. It's by focusing on Jesus. And when you focus on Jesus, you access Jesus and you live right. But if you're just placing yourself under the list, then you're depending on your own power. That won't work. But you place yourself under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter your age. You'll access His power, amen. His freedom, His love, His patience. That's the provision that every child of God has. Here's another clarification. You say, man, how many you got? We're almost done. What we're dealing with is a spiritual service. I love this. Fruit of the Spirit is love, but look at verse 13. By love, serve. The fruit of the Spirit, so spirituality is being rightly related to the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and by love, serve. Do you know that when you walk in the Spirit, when you are yielding to His leadership and power, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to be born, which is love and all of its manifestations, and that's how you serve. Now, I want you to think with me. Let's say you got some bad habits, like, you know, you get ticked off, you say things that are mean, you hurt people's feelings, and all of that. But God convicts you. You know the Lord. You're on your way to heaven. Jesus is in you. You say, okay, if this is what the Bible says, I'm going to take it. And you take a hold of this, and you yield to the Holy Spirit in your life, and you experience His love and therefore His patience and His kindness, all a part of this list. And when you respond in kindness instead of meanness, isn't that a blessing to you that, you know, normally you're mean and then all of a sudden you're experiencing the kindness of Jesus? Yeah, it's a blessing to you. But you know who really gets blessed? Everybody around you. That's the service. That's the spiritual service. Look, parents, when you walk in the Spirit and the fruit of Jesus is manifest, yeah, it's going to be a blessing to you when you're patient instead of impatient, when you're kind instead of unkind. But the people that are going to get blessed are your spouse and your kids. They get to eat the fruit. See, it's service by love, serve. The fruit of the Spirit is love. By love, serve. And everyone around you, even if they don't know the Lord, when the love of Jesus is actually real in your life, they get blessed. Thinking, wow, why do you think those gangsters and those police officers in Chicago realized, you know, this guy's changed? It's because of the fruit. He was so different. You see, holiness is not just, you know, wearing a certain color shirt and carrying your Bible like this. Holiness is accessing Jesus, who is love. And therefore, joy and peace all the way to temperance. That's holiness. And when that's real, people around you get blessed. I was talking to a missionary friend of mine, and he said, you know, I got to spend 2 hours with your dad at the airport one time in Dublin. And he said, I didn't really know your dad, but he said, we spent 2 hours together. He said, I don't even remember what he said. He said, I just remember that I was never the same. Now, my dad can't do that. But Jesus can. And apparently Jesus was flowing and the fruit was there and the missionary got to eat it and was never the same. See, there's an impact. It's the Jesus impact. It's the Jesus look. It's the Jesus dynamic. It's the Jesus reality. And that brings us to the last thought here. There is a necessary prerequisite. Look at verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, that is, if we've been made alive in the Spirit. I mean, word it this way from John 3. If we've been born of the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you know you cannot walk in the Spirit if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you? I want to ask a question to every person in this room, every adult, every man, every lady, every young person, and the children. Is the Holy Spirit in you? See, you can't walk in the leadership and the power of the Spirit if He's not in you. But if you have been born of the Spirit, yeah, now you can walk in the Spirit. Now you can access Jesus. Now you can be transformed from the inside out. Now you can grow in grace. Now you can bring Jesus to those around you. But you can't do it if He's not in you. Now, how do you get Him in you? Well, the Bible words it so simply in John 1:12, but as many as received, as many as have taken Him, Jesus, to them gave He the power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, you've heard about Jesus if you live in Georgia. But believing on Jesus is not just believing about Jesus. You got to depend on Him. In other words, you got to take Him. You got to trust Him as your Savior. See, all of us got a problem called sin. Big time. Take a look around. And there is a consequence. It's called hell. I'm going to tell you something. It's real. It's not just a cuss word. It's a reality. It's eternal separation from God forever in eternal fire. But that is why Jesus came. Lived a sinless life. Went to the cross. Your sin and my sin, our sin was put on Him. So that when you believe on Him, His righteousness will be put on you. He'll move in. And that's why you can go to heaven. Amen. You see, you've got to have Jesus. And it's not just believing about Him, it's believing on Him. Look, if I had a chair, and I had an empty chair here, and let's say I'm sitting on this chair, and I have an empty chair next to me, and I say, audience, I have this empty chair next to me, and I believe that that empty chair can hold me up. What would I have to do to prove it to you? Sit on it. If all I did was talk about it, that would be believing about the chair. To believe in it, I would have to sit on it. So I got a question for you. What if I said, okay, I'm going to prove it to you, and I move one leg from this chair to this chair, but I keep the other leg on this chair, so I'm kind of half here and half there, split. Would I really be trusting this chair if I'm still hanging on to this one? No. Why? Because a split trust reveals a mistrust in Christ alone. To really believe on the second chair, I've got to get off the first chair entirely and sit down on the second chair entirely. Some people say, well, you know, I asked Jesus to save me, but you know, you got to go to church too in order to make it. Now, it's good to go to church, but not in order to make it. Church doesn't save you, Jesus does. Well, you know, I asked Jesus to save me, you got to get baptized too in order to make it. No, the Bible talks about baptism, but not in order to make it. It's Jesus who saves. And if you have Jesus in church, or Jesus in baptism, or Jesus in trying to live right, God wants us to live right. But that's not what gets you to heaven, because we don't always live right. The standard for heaven is perfection. If you're dependent on you to be good enough to make it, you're not going to make it. Okay, that's why you can't have this split trust. But that split trust reveals a mistrust in Christ alone. So here's the simplicity. Sit down on the Jesus chair. Stop depending on everything else and actually trust Jesus to save you once and for all. To forgive your sins. To give you His eternal life. He is that eternal life according to 1 John. In other words, to move in. Take Him. Receive Him. And friends, when you do that, now you can walk in the Spirit. And when you do, the fruit of Jesus will be manifested. And that's what can change marriages that are about to break up. That's what can change homes that are just the pits to be in. But you get Jesus in the equation. And even if not everybody walks in the Spirit, if just one person does, it'll change the dynamic.
Amen.
And that's what can change the aura of your group of friends at school or your co-workers, adults at work. That's the fruitful walk. Walk in the Spirit to simple dependence on His leadership and power, and the fruit of Jesus will be manifested. But if you don't have Jesus, then depend on Jesus tonight to move in to begin with. Let's bow our heads for prayer.